This is Real Estate Unplugged with Kay Weinfordner, where all the talk is about the latest in real estate. Now, here's your host, Kay Weinfordner.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Real Estate Unplugged with Kay Weinfordner. With our guest today, Jeannie Kelly of ReadyForGoodCredit.com, who can be reached at 866-234-5977. And of course, if you'd like to contact me regarding anything about real estate, you may do so anytime at 941-302-1707. You can find me through WSRQRadio.com. So, Jeannie, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Kay.
You're welcome. Well, I think we should start just by asking, Jeannie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, a little bit about myself. Well, I'm a mom. I have one daughter. And I recently got married, though, about 2 years ago. So I was a single mother for about 18 years. And I live in New York. And today is a nice, rainy, dreary day. I've been in the credit industry for over 15 years. I love the credit industry, believe it or not. So I'm excited that you asked me on for some of these credit discussions.
Well, I know that you are a national credit repair and credit expert. So you had told me before that you are on some of the national news broadcast channels. Is that correct?
Yeah. I've appeared on the Today Show, Fox News, things like that, and I write for Huffington Post or MyFICO, and just so many outlets, spreading the word of healthy credit, really.
Excellent. And just the whole world of credit seems to be a real enigma for a lot of people. So we're going to take care of a lot of the myths about that and how to increase it and how to best use your credit, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds great.
All right. And actually, how did you become involved in the credit business?
Yeah, well, basically during my divorce is when I found out. I really never thought about credit going back, over 20 years ago. I, was very sloppy about it during the divorce. So I got into the industry because I needed to help myself and figure out how to fix my credit with errors that I found, and also how, to rebuild. And it was really, back then, it was really difficult, and there wasn't information out there like there is today. So I got into the industry really by helping, rebuilding my own credit and thinking this is great information to share with people and help them when, unfortunately, they go through a rough time with their credit.
It is unfortunate that that is a story that you just told me, that so many people do go through some type of catastrophic occurrence in their life, be it a divorce mm-hmm. or even the death of a spouse here, unfortunately, happens quite a bit. And then they realize how much their credit is tied to their everyday activities and then really, unfortunately, attached to these occurrences that are catastrophic that do happen to people on really, unfortunately, a daily basis. I hear this all the time from my end of the business and the real estate business, of course, is that people cannot purchase a property simply because they did have a divorce and the other individual may have done some things that damage their credit on purpose. And that blows me away, too. I just can't imagine why somebody would do that to somebody else. Usually, I would think that if you were married to somebody, that you would at least wish them well on the way out. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen a whole lot, does it?
Unfortunately, yes. And it's funny you say that. I mean, there's so many things regarding, we always want to use credit in a healthy way. So usually it is something that we're not expected, whether it's the divorce, a health issue, someone dies, our employment changes, we moved, whatever it is, we didn't start off to have this bad credit. And with the divorce thing, though, like you said, I hear that all the time, or I'll hear people say, well, I'm going through a divorce and I think it's going well, you know, where they didn't even check their credit, where maybe the ex is paying for things because of the divorce decree, and they don't realize they're paying them late, and right in the moment things are getting damaged, that if you're aware of it, you can control it or stop it, you know? So being aware is so key.
Okay, so that is a good point, that you just need to know where you are presently to just at least analyze what's going on. So where Absolutely. Would somebody be able to easily do that? And I understand that there's a lot of places that you can, quote, get a free credit report, but a lot of those mm-hmm. are not free, and they do have other right. things attached to them. And unfortunately, Jeannie, the credit repair industry seems to have a little bit of a stigma that there could be some scams out there. And, mm-hmm. you know, people yeah. do need to be very, very, very careful. And it sounds to me, and it appears to me, that in a lot of different industries, including the credit repair business, that sometimes you just really have to be careful when the word says free.
It is true. And, you know, it's funny because I, on my my website, I have a free credit clip, and it truly is free because I can't speak to everybody out there all the time. And I put it on my website for free, credit information. There's no strings attached. There's no credit card information. There's no personal data I take, you know, as far as your social or any of your info, just your email so you can get the information.
Right.
But you are correct. You do have to be careful. And a lot of times, you know, you sign up for something and you don't realize you're going to get billed for it. So it is important, but I'll tell you where to go. If you go to annualcreditreport.com, you can definitely get all three of your credit reports for free, and that is a safe outlet to go. annualcreditreport.com. It's a one-stop shop, basically. Or you can just go directly to each credit bureau if you feel better about it. Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. You can pick up the phone, you can do it online, however you wish to obtain your credit report. That is, no matter what the credit issue is, whether you've never paid attention to it, whether you know right now you're in the midst of having financial difficulties, look at it. It's a great place to start. And again, even if you know there's going to be negative information on there, it's almost like ripping the Band-Aid off. You know, once you see the wound, you can put a plan together of how to fix it.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely getting the credit report is key.
Okay. So you basically want people to go to the annualcreditreport.com or to go to each of the individual credit bureaus themselves. That would be Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And unfortunately, I also see sometimes when people are not only credit ding, but they have issues with the foreclosure or whatever it is. It seems like there are a lot of scammy places to go out there. And even if they're just wanting your email address so they can sell your information, I think mm-hmm. our listeners need to be careful and certainly be aware of any time when you're basically giving that private information out, like social security number, address, birth date. I mean, the DOB, date of birth, that's one of the things that a lot of people don't have, but those are the things that you can have so that somebody could steal your identity. And I'm sure that you deal with a lot of people who have had their identity stolen. That is a huge crime right now that is happening, isn't it?
It is, definitely.
We're going to talk about that a lot more because we and the listeners, they need to be able to protect themselves from having their identity stolen. And we just all hear, you know, crazy stories about this. And in my business, in the real estate business, I hear it a lot where people want to buy a house, but they went to get their credit pulled by a mortgage broker. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, they own a house already or whatever it is.
Oh,
and they're not paying the mortgage. I mean, crazy things do happen.
I know. Absolutely. Actually, that's why I was on the Today Show for one of the episodes, because someone had this issue. He was building a house and you know, he could, obviously, he had perfect credit always. He never even thought to look at it. And then all of a sudden, there were all these accounts on his credit report that didn't belong to him. And of course, at the worst time, right when he needed that mortgage.
So, yeah,
it definitely can happen. And being aware of what's reporting about you is key, you know. So it's important to look at your credit no matter what. I have people say, well, I don't need to look at it. I don't need credit right now. It doesn't matter. You want to be checking it, because if you do have good credit, obviously those are the people that are the victims. If people have bad credit, they can't get the credit. So they're not going to be a victim of identity theft in most cases. So you still want to look at that credit report. It is just so key. Sure. And like you said, so important where you go to get that credit report, because you don't want to be giving out your information if you don't, you know, if you don't know where it's going. So very important.
Absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit more about that and possibly even how to get those alerts if something does happen to your credit. Mm-hmm. And like you said, a lot of people just have no idea what's happening with that. And you are listening today with Jeannie Kelly of readyforgoodcredit.com. And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
No secret that lately there ain't no escaping, that I've been waking up alone. Just me and the TV and a sinking feeling that you ain't ever coming home. But today, the tears.
Good afternoon again. You're listening to Real Estate Unplugged with Kay Weinfordner, and our guest today, Jeannie Kelly of readyforgoodcredit.com. She can be reached anytime at 866-234-5977. And of course, you can reach me at 941-302-1707 or anytime through the WSRQradio.com. Jeannie, thank you again so much this afternoon for joining us. And right before the break, we were talking about identity theft and how that is a major issue today. And we were talking about how everybody should get their free credit report and monitor that. Because even if you have good credit in your mind and you go to, let's say, buy a car or a vehicle, then all of a sudden you realize, oh, my, you know, somebody else is using my credit and they're doing damage. So there are some alerts out there too. If you're attuned to the credit report, you can get alerts too if something happens to your credit. Can you not?
You can if you sign up for like a monitoring service. I always suggest, because most of the times people who are coming to me are looking for, you know, purchasing a new home. So they're first-time home buyers or people, again, relocating. So I always suggest going directly to myfico.com, because they do have a monitoring service. So you would get an alert, you know, if you're, if all of a sudden someone's applying for credit. It could even be you, you know. So, but at least you would know. You would see your score going up and down. And the reason why I always say to go directly to myfico.com is because 90% of lenders use the FICO scoring model for scoring your credit report. So if you're going to look at a credit score, you might as well be looking at the one that most lenders are looking at.
Okay.
So that's why I say, yeah, go directly to them for a monitoring service.
Okay, and let's clarify a couple things about myfico.com. Is that a fee-based service?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So again, if you want, you know, most of the credit monitoring services are fee-based. So some people don't want to be using them, and they know, hey, I can schedule this in my calendar. Maybe I'll check my credit myself several times a year. You know, that's great. But if you can't do that, and you know, that you're not able to be pulling all three credit bureaus twice a year, let's say, then make sure you pay a service to do it for you, because we all know how important it is to be on top of our credit.
Sure, sure. And then also to clarify about myfico.com, the actual FICO score, is that not kind of a blend of all three credit bureaus, or what would you consider the FICO score?
Right. So FICO, grades each of the reports. So basically, it's like if you have an Experian credit report, but you're going to a lender, they may pull one Experian, they may pull all three, Equifax and TransUnion, and FICO scores each one. So the reason, like, if you go to FICO, myfico.com directly, you can get, for a fee, you can get your credit report and FICO credit score. I usually suggest going to this site if you know, oh, I'm going to, you know, go house shopping soon. You might as well know in advance what your FICO score is so you know, okay, I'm not going to have an issue when I go apply for a mortgage. Or if you see that it's low, okay, you have time to work on it and see what can I do to help my credit before I go for that home loan.
Absolutely. And I tell people all the time, and by the way, shopping for a house is very fun and exciting and a little bit stressful. So what we're talking about is, hey, let's start with step one, which is, hey, what is my credit score? Step two is to find a good mortgage broker. And then step three is to get somebody like me to go out and be a bulldog and help you find exactly what you want. And it is very exciting. Exactly. And that is really why most people do their credit score, isn't it? I mean, I guess they do it when they buy a vehicle, although it's pretty darn easy to get financing for a vehicle, isn't it? It's not like buying a house.
It is easier. It's definitely easier. But, you know, I do get people who can't get a vehicle. So, you know, it is something that I feel most people don't look at their credit. Actually, I posted a survey about this the other day. They don't look at their credit until they need it.
Right.
And a lot of times they don't look at it until they got declined or there's an issue like they're going to be paying a higher rate because of where their credit score is. So that's, you know, I mean, credit is used for so many things, you know, not your credit score, but let's say you're going for employment. Some employers do look at your credit. You know, some insurances are based on your credit as well. So credit is a huge part of our lives, and a lot of times we only think about it, again, when we need it and for that big major purchase.
Right, right. I actually, true story, two things that I did is I did a background check because I do a lot of broker price opinions for the major lenders out there. And of course, they don't want just anybody doing the valuations of their major assets, correct? So I did have to have my credit pulled for part of the background check. The other thing I just did, I bit the bullet and I took on a car payment and I did actually get a car financed. And I did ask the Toyota dealer, I did ask them, hey, what's my credit score? Because I was just curious. And he told me what the credit score is. And I said, can I have a copy? He said, no, we can't give one out. And I just thought, why is that? Why is that, Jeannie? Why aren't they going to give me my credit report to look at it? Because they pulled it.
Right. Well, some lenders, you know, it just depends on the policy that they have placed. You know, there's some practices where they say, oh, I pulled it for this mortgage. I'm telling you this is what your rate would be, you know, and based on the credit report in front of me, and they will give you a copy. And then there's some companies that may say they won't give it to you. You know, it just depends on their policy. But no matter what, if you didn't look at your credit, you want to make sure you are looking at it. Like, if you got a high rate for that auto loan, you know, you would want to say, hold on, put on the brakes a moment. Let me look at my credit. Maybe there's a mistake on there that you'd be locked in for that auto loan for 3 years at a different interest rate, just all over a mistake of something on your credit report that you had no idea.
Sure.
So, you know, that's why hopefully if you're listening to this show, hopefully, you know, as soon as you get home, you're going to pull your credit report and look at it. So when you need the credit, you know it's in order and it's at the highest capacity it can be for you. And I say that for you because, you know what, if there were some negative, you know, if you had hard times and there's negative items on the credit report, time heals all wounds. It will on the credit report as well. You know, we all can't walk around with A-plus credit, but we can rebuild it and tweak it to make it as healthy as possible.
Sure. Okay, so what I do want to talk about today also is what the minimum scores are for certain things, things that do report to credit. I think a lot of people believe that, for instance, their utility company may report to credit and they don't. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. And it also seems like medical bills, especially in my neck of the woods, and I know you're in New York, Jeannie, but in Florida, medical bills are a fairly major deal with our listeners. So we're going to talk about how medical bills can affect you. Let's talk about let's also talk about judgments and how that may affect it, and then things that go to collections and how to take care of those things.
Okay.
All right. And the minimum scores that we were talking about, what is approximately the minimum score to buy a vehicle? Because obviously I didn't have any trouble buying a vehicle, and we all hear horror stories about how vehicles can just be an astronomical APR for a lot of people that have some dings in their credit. What is the score that
right,
you can't
that
get?
Right, and that can change. You know, Kay, like what I say to you today could change for tomorrow, you know, but usually for car loans aren't, it's not the same, like you said, regarding the mortgages. You know, mortgages, they'd love to see for you to get the best rate out there for a mortgage, 740 or above. With cars, usually it's 640 or above. But again, can you get a car loan at a 600? You can, but what will that interest rate be? And, you know, you got to really think about that.
Well, that and what kind of
automobile.
Sure, and what kind of car? You just never know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I was, by the way, I was very happy with my Toyota dealership and the way
Yay!
That they took care of me. Yay. Because you don't hear many, like, really good stories about, hey, I really enjoyed my car buying experience.
Exactly.
So many people walk out of there and they're like, oh, I got screwed.
Right, exactly.
So
yeah,
I don't think I did.
And if you go in there, the nice thing is, if you go in there prepared, and of course, you know, I live and breathe the credit industry, and anyone who follows me, hopefully they're doing these tips. Like, before going for the car loan, you know, look at your credit report. So when you walk in, you know, hey, I'm going to be able to get that interest rate they're advertising on TV because I know I have a high credit score. So, you know, or you may say, well, I may have to not get that rate because, you know, my credit score is only mediocre, but at least go in prepared.
Excellent. That is a good point. And we're going to go on a break here in just a second. And I just want to say thank you so much, Jeannie Kelly, for joining us from readyforgoodcredit.com. And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
She's a small town, hardworking woman just trying to make a living. Working three jobs, feeding four little mouths in a rundown kitchen.
Welcome back. Thank you again, Jeannie Kelly of readyforgoodcredit.com, who can be reached anytime at 866-234-5977. And Jeannie, thank you again for joining us. And before we went
thank
on break,
you.
We were talking a little bit about judgments, collections, and medical bills. And again, medical bills are one of those things that pops up on credit oftentimes when people are trying to get a mortgage to buy a house. So tell me a little bit about how those things will affect the credit.
Right. It is so important because medical collections on your credit report, it doesn't matter if it's for $25 or if the collection is for $5,000. It's that it's a collection, and so that drops the score. If it's in the moment, like a new collection, it could drop your score 80 points. So it's really important. And I say a lot of times, you know how when someone is in the hospital or recovering from something and, you know, you're saying, what can I do for you? It's important if you're that person to think, who do I trust? Who can help me with maybe my mail and my billing? Because it's those co-pays or, you know, when you're in the hospital, a lab bill that you didn't even realize, you know, it's all of those things that you're not maybe following up because you're worried about your health, and that is the number one. So if you could have someone doing that, that's a great way that person can feel good helping you, and then you'll know that besides your eyes looking at it, you have someone else and it won't fall in between the cracks, because it does happen, and those collections do hurt your credit report a lot. And even when they get paid, it's still a negative item on your credit report, a paid collection. So, you know, unfortunately, the most important thing is trying to not get it on the report. If it is on the report and it does get updated as paid, you know, it will stay on the credit report that way for up to 7 years. So just something to think about and to be on top of.
But does the actual score bounce back if it is paid? I mean, obviously, if it is paid, or even if it's settled for less than what was owed, that should allow it to go back up as long as everything else is being paid as agreed, correct?
Well, it will go back up in time.
Sure.
But in the moment, no. Like, and a lot of times people get very upset about this because it can even drop their score if they get it updated as paid. But obviously you have to pay it. So it's, timing is everything. But and the reason why that happens, because a lot of people say, you know, I'm just the messenger of the system. But what happens is, let's say they put it on your credit report a year ago. It's, you know, there, it's not showing every single month like a regular traditional revolving account or mortgage account or an auto loan. They don't report every month. It just gets reported at that time. So then when you update it to paid, they'll update it with the recent month. So it's showing recent activity added to the credit report of a negative account. So that's why it drops like that. But again, it will go back up. So if you time it out correctly, you know, if you're looking at your credit and you say, well, in 6 months or in a year from now or 2 years from now, that's when I'm going to need my loan. It's definitely better to have it paid than not paid.
Okay, sure. Obviously, that makes sense. And yes, you're absolutely right. There are weird things about paying, or even paying just half of a credit card off, and the way that it kind of operates. And in my world, in the real estate world, in obtaining a mortgage, sometimes people don't understand, hey, don't pay the whole credit card off, just pay up to maybe a certain percentage of the total credit allowed to that credit line, and that can bring the credit score up. And those are the things, that the magical things that you kind of know about that a lot of other people don't know. And you're right, if you pay off a credit card, sometimes it doesn't really help you a whole lot, but only if you pay like a percentage of it, it does. It's kind of odd, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and it's all those things. You know, that's why it's great you have me on the show. Credit education, we have to learn it. You know, most of the people who come to me, they don't even really come to me because they knew they were doing something wrong. It's things that they just had no idea, like credit card balances, or opening up an account, not knowing that that account's going to dip their score down right before a mortgage closing because of a new inquiry, a new account hitting your credit report. It's simple things that people just didn't realize they were doing wrong. So,
right.
You know, educating like this show, you know, that people are learning, that's the key when it comes to your credit.
Right. Real story here. I always tell the listeners, I'll bring in a real story. But I did have a young couple that right before closing, they went out and they opened accounts like all over town for furniture so that they could put new furniture in their home. And they didn't realize that their credit score was kind of on the tip of being able to get the loan. And they weren't able to close because they went out and they opened like an account at Rooms to Go and another furniture place. And those things do affect your credit. So those of you who are looking to buy a house, don't do anything with your credit until you close. And also don't quit your job. I had that happen too.
Oh my God. Yes.
Some guy like quit his job like the day before closing. Didn't think it was a big deal because he had another job lined up for that next Monday.
And, oh my,
you know,
goodness.
So two things, listeners, they do a last minute employment update and they do a last minute credit check right before closing. So don't do anything. Yeah. Just freeze. Don't
That's
do anything
right.
before you close. Okay.
That's right.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about collections and judgments before we go to our next break. How does somebody deal with that? Now, even an IRS judgment, those things are out there. And I come upon those issues all the time with my title agents that do a title search and even if you're a buyer, that affects whether or not you can buy the property, right? And the seller, too.
Right. And it is on your credit report, you know, whether it's the judgment, whether it's the tax lien. And if it is something that's due, and let's say with the tax lien, if you weren't notified correctly or if you have some hardship, you can deal with the IRS and talk to them about paying it and having it removed and get a vacate. When it comes to judgments, if a vacate basically means delete, it would get removed from your credit report. So if you do see them on there, the good thing is if it does get removed, then when your credit gets pulled again and it would get scored without that information, obviously that's going to help your credit score. So, yeah, judgments, you know, and those tax liens, you don't like seeing them on the credit report, but if you get down to trying to figure out why it's due, if you really do owe it, and if you could get it removed or vacated, that's the way to go, and you will see your credit score increase.
Well, that's a good point. Sometimes they're erroneous. It's not even yours. You know, if you're a John Smith and they mix that you're a John Smith the fifth or whatever middle initial is. I mean, a lot of things can be erroneously placed on a credit report as well. So that is, again, a reason why, hey, look at it. It might not even be yours. And I do have one question about those judgments, and I have a little comment, but the amount of the judgment, does that affect it as well, or is it just simply because it is a judgment reporting to the credit?
It is a judgment. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Again, it doesn't matter if it's a $100 judgment or if it's for $35,000. It's that it's a judgment. And I will also say this. If they won't remove it, because maybe there isn't a reason for it to be removed, it's not, you know how on a credit report, if you settle on an account for less, it will say settled instead of paid in full on a collection or a charge-off. When it comes to judgment, it either says satisfied or not satisfied. So if it's not going to be removed, you might as well save the money and have it, because they're going to, if you settle it with them, they're just going to mark it as satisfied. There's no code as saying, oh, they settled this judgment.
Okay, but satisfied is still better than not satisfied. So
satisfied,
do something
kinda,
with it.
Yeah, satisfied is still going to remain on there. It's still a negative item, but as time goes by, it's not as negative. So, you know, you are resolving something, and let's say, you know, it shows satisfied and 2 years goes by, that's obviously, you know, that's good. You know, it's better than 2 years going by and it's still not satisfied. That's not going to be as helpful.
Sure, and there are obviously a lot of different judgments out there. But just my comment about IRS judgments and about the IRS is that just from personal knowledge and experience, I do know that the IRS is more than happy to take your small payments on a monthly basis. They'll take it any way they can get it.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to ignore these things, you know? So if you can all of a sudden put a plan in action and do a payment plan, do whatever it takes. You're stepping in the right direction.
Right. And medical collections, too. They're willing to take your small payments as well. So it's really good to go out there and negotiate with these people. And, you know, obviously, if they've already written it off and they got some type of a tax deduction on a medical bill, but they're still happy to take your payment so that you can deal with that. So when something goes to collections, let's talk about that really quickly when we come back from break. And again, you're listening to Real Estate Unplugged with Kay Weinfortner, and our guest today is Jeannie Kelly of readyforgoodcredit.com. She can be reached at 866-234-5977. And I just want to remind everybody that she is a national credit repair individual and has a tremendous amount of knowledge and is here and happy to help you. And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Gas, I got the matches. We gonna turn this town to ashes, cause they ain't never seen nothing like us. I ain't heard loud till we turn it up.
Thank you again for joining us this afternoon. We're talking with Jeannie Kelly of readyforgoodcredit.com. And she is a wealth of information. And again, just to reiterate what we've already gone over, we've talked about knowing your credit, going to annualcreditreport.com. We've talked a little bit about judgments. We've talked a little bit about knowing and how to figure out if something's happening with your credit through alerts, medical bills, and how to take care of that. And let's get to collections. We talked very briefly about collections before we went on break. So, Jeannie, tell me a little bit more about how to deal with the collections once they're out there and on your credit.
Yeah, so the first thing, once you're made aware of them, you have to call up, figure out, let's make sure it's even accurate information. You know, just because it's on your credit report doesn't mean it's accurate. So you do have to research it, ask them for a validation of the debt. Those are key words, actually, validation of the debt, because they have to prove to you that it really is due. So you can ask them for that. If it's medical, sometimes the insurance might not have paid something. They'll be able to, then you can give them your insurance information. And then, you know, once they told you it was at this hospital or this doctor's office and on this service date, you know that that was yours. You can say, well, here's my insurance again, you know, and then they can apply it. And then if they do get it that way, they will most likely remove it off your credit report because they put it on in error without, you know, billing you correctly. So, I mean, it's really just key to not hide away from something that's on your credit report and figuring it out.
What
so
if
the collection, yeah?
Oh, I was just going to say, and what if it's not yours? You know, so many erroneous things do get on people's credit. So if a medical bill came in or something of that nature, and let's say your name is, you know, John Smith, it could easily not be yours. I mean, you weren't even in the hospital. Maybe you never had the medical issue to begin with. How do you prove that? How do you prove that and get it removed?
Right. So the good thing is, you know, when you ask them for the validation of debt, if they don't have your social attached to it and they give you this, you know, medical bill and it has someone else's information and you say, well, this isn't me, and you can prove that, they'll definitely remove it off your credit report. So, you know, that's why you want to ask for the information and find out what is this, because you are 100% correct, Kay. I have never, and people are shocked over this, and I know I'm in the credit industry usually helping people who have negative information, but I have never, in over 15 years, I've never seen a credit report without a mistake, ever. So I see thousands of credit reports, and unfortunately, there's mistakes on there, whether it's an account that doesn't belong to you, whether your name is incorrect, employment data wrong, balances wrong on the credit report. I've just not come across a report that was 100% accurate. So, of course, that can happen to you, that there's an account on there that doesn't even belong to you.
Okay. And is this something that you and your company assist people with to make sure that these things are taken care of?
We definitely can. You know, like I said, I have a lot of information on my website for the free credit club at, you know, readyforgoodcredit.com. It's free. And they can, you know, if they know I have an account that doesn't belong to me, they can research it on my site to figure out how to do it themselves, or they can call us for a coaching session and we will walk them through it, tell them exactly what they need to say, do, give them even tools like paperwork of the validation of debt so they can handle it on their own. So yeah, we definitely can help them.
Okay. All right. And in my real estate world, most people are concerned, obviously, with their credit in order to get a mortgage. Now, I just also want to say in my world, too, there are a lot of cash transactions going on, but a lot of first-time home buyers that, A, don't know a whole lot about credit, B, about the home buying process, don't even know where to start first. So they're looking at their credit. And a lot of people, when they're considering first-time home buying, they're renting somewhere, or they're living at home with mom and dad, which, you know, happens quite a bit these days. And they're trying to figure out how to go about this. And what they're doing is they're finding out from the mortgage broker themselves that, hey, right now, today, this moment, I cannot obtain financing. However, down the road, somebody like you or the mortgage broker says, well, here it is. And then they want to use somebody like you to help them work on that over a short period of time so that they can. So renting to own now is a very, very popular thing to do because A, the kids don't want to live with mom and dad still. And you can understand that, or they want to get out of the rental because they want a pet or whatever reason. People want to move. And buying a first house is really, really exciting. All of a sudden, you're in an apartment, you have no yard, and all of a sudden, you get this huge yard with a fence, and you get two dogs, right? So that's what happens. And that's what you want to have happen. Basically, it's the American dream. But what happens when you're credit challenged, or the whole flip side to that, a lot of first-time home buyers don't have any credit, but they don't know that they can build alternative trade lines. They can go to FPL, which is, by the way, Florida Power and Light here. For those of you who are from New York, Genie, but anyway, for FPL, I mean, you can go to your utility companies and get a trade line and get all that. So those are the things that you can do to help people, and those are awesome things to be able to work on. So tell me a little bit about how you can help somebody that is going to do a rent-to-own program, and I can get them in the property right away. I have a cash investor. I have the cash investor who will actually buy the house for somebody who can get financing in the next 5 years. And then that person gets to go out, shop like they're the buyer with me, and they pick out the house just like they're buying.
I love that.
Isn't that cool? And it doesn't cost them anything extra. Nothing extra, zero.
Awesome. So, oh, my goodness. That is fabulous.
Isn't it?
I have to come out and check out part of Florida. But, that's a great program. And what I would do with them is build up credit. So whether it's someone who's a first-time home buyer who has no credit, or if it's someone who has, you know, derogatory information, they have, let's just say how it is, bad credit, we can rebuild. So while they're in that home that you found them and the plan is to purchase it within that 5 years, we can, you know, start building healthy new credit. And the healthy new credit is going to help someone who has no credit, or it's going to help with the derogatory information. If there's some healthy new stuff as time goes by, the good stuff is going to add history onto the report, making the negative stuff, you know, obviously it'll still be there, but balance out. So you will improve your credit score. Because, you know, Kay, one thing is a lot of times when people have bad credit, they choose to do nothing. So they don't fix the issues. And then they also are so afraid of credit, they're not building new healthy accounts. And then that's not helping them. You know, believe it or not, getting some of those new accounts, it's adding positive information on a report that has everything negative. It's definitely going to help you. So those are things we could work with clients, you know, to help them improve their credit with that credit education and the credit coaching sessions.
Absolutely. And one of the things about the rent-to-own program is that it's 5 years. And in the credit business for getting a mortgage, you are as good as your last 2 years. So really, usually only takes you 2 years to do it. Now, there are some other things that are happening in our marketplace here is that maybe you were a homeowner and you had to rent because you sold a house on a short sale, which was, you know, a commonly used household word here for a very long time, or we are coming out of that. So if you had a short sale, or if it did go to foreclosure, it was an owner-occupied property, you know, Jeannie, believe it or not, I can still do the rent-to-own program if your credit score has not dropped below a 525. That is ridiculously low, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely.
I'm sure you've seen lower, and that's, you know, pretty bad. But seriously, you can still buy a house in the next 5 years, be in the property now, not have to wait, because I believe, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think FHA is 3 years that you have to go before you can purchase another property if you've had a short sale or something like that or some type of hardship. But a lot of people have certainly gotten back on their feet, and they're renting now. Why are you renting if you can own? Or maybe you have kids that have multiplied and returned home and you want them out. you know, get them in the rent-to-own program, right? And unfortunately, that does happen a lot.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Jeannie, we're about to wrap up here in just a minute, but is there anything else you want to share on what your company does for people?
Well, basically, my goal is always making sense out of the credit industry. So it's credit education. That's the number one key. So just remember today, no matter what you do, check your credit report. See where it stands. That's my number one tip. And come to my website. Like I said, it's a free club. Really, truly free.
That's excellent. Well, thank you. And it sounds like you're really in the business, bottom line, you're in the business of making dreams happen, whether it's buying a house or a car or whatever it is. And we're, of course, supporting our economy. So thank you, Jeannie, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
When will you be on the Today Show? I want to have people tune in if they can.
Well, you know what? I don't know when I'll be on next. You know, when they call, I jump.
Oh, excellent. So, and you're right there in New York, so it's easy. And you'll look good next time you're on there, I'm sure. Please stay warm up in New York. And thank you so much for joining us. And you've been listening to Jeannie Kelly on Real Estate Unplugged with Kay Weinfortner. You can reach Jeannie at readyforgoodcredit.com or 866-234-5977. And you know where to contact me. Have a great week, everybody.